terrorist organizations. Cartels should be labeled as terrorist organizations. Tom Holman recently appeared on Newsweek. But before we get to that, we got to give you all an update on what the mindset is from people that's looking to come over to the border prior to Trump becoming president of the United States of America on January 20th.
Well, border crossings usually do tend to rise during the month of December once those temperatures cool down just a bit. But we could see some more migrants try to get into the United States once the Trump administration takes office come January. But a rep with the Texas Department of Public Safety tells me they're ready for anything.
We may see a surge, we may not, but we're ready in Texas.
It's a slow start to my ride along in South Texas. Lieutenant Chris Olivares is on patrol, keeping watch along the Rio Grande. Then a call comes in.
We're going to head up to Raymond.
Our first stop takes us to a town in the valley called McAllen. Three men from Honduras and Mexico tried to climb over the border using this makeshift ladder. Their attempt fails. Their guide disappears back into Mexico and Border Patrol catches the men. That's one apprehension on a morning slower compared to years back.
Right now in Texas, illegal border crossings are down 88%. Now that's in part because of what we've been able to do in Texas by placing physical barriers along the river, making arrests on those who actually commit state crimes.
But with cooler weather and a new administration coming in January, preparations for a potential mass migration are underway.
And even more so now, we're conducting mass migration response exercises.
One of those exercises involves both Texas DPS and the state's National Guard, forming lines across vulnerable areas of the state's 1,200-mile border. The exercise is meant to send a message.
Illegal border crossers are not going to want to cross in that area. They're going to want to go somewhere else where there's less resistance.
The president-elect spent much of his campaign promising to secure the border and deport people who came to the U.S. illegally. Trump says he'll make good on his promise come day one. For Texas DPS, this change can mark a turning point.
It's been very difficult for us as a state when we have our own federal government challenging us and protecting our own state, trying to secure the border, when that is a responsibility, is to secure the border and to protect our country.
Yeah, and while there are preparations for a potential surge coming here to the Rio Grande Valley and the entire South Texas border, it's important to note that immediately after Trump's Election Day victory, a mass caravan full of thousands moving through Mexico cut down by nearly half.
Actually, they didn't. They just split up. They split up and went multiple different ways because they didn't want to be captured, and they have a greater chance of being able to get into the United States of America if they split up and then they all cross at different points instead of them all participating at the same point. This is Chris Cuomo and Tom Holman, the new border czar named by Trump, having a conversation about what is going to happen at the border if they should be labeled as terrorist organizations, these cartels, and then more importantly, which I don't know why they're not labeled as terrorist organizations, more importantly, what will happen to migrants if we don't secure the border?
Now, top of a list of real problems that Trump may well move on is immigration. It could be his first major legislative initiative. Now, given that this crisis has been evolving over the years, I wanted to kind of break down how we got here, okay? Kind of looking at the last three presidents as what they faced when they came in and what they did with that, all right? Let's start with border crossing. So let's get the graphics going. Obama, we'll start with him. He left office 400,000 illegal border encounters. In Trump's first year, border crossings dropped to a record low of 300,000. Why? Tough talk on immigration, which served as a deterrent. In his last year, and then he had the home country agreements where he was facilitating deals where people kept processing in their own borders, within their own borders. His remain in Mexico, pressuring Mexico to put troops on the border with Guatemala and the border with the U.S. His last year, border encounters were at 400,000, okay? Now, why'd they go back up? Because the demand returned, okay? Now,
why did they go back up? Because the demand returned? No, because everybody knew that y'all opened up the borders in order for everybody to be able to get in. And they called their cousins and they said, hey, man, if you're looking to get here, you can get here. You can come on over to the border.
You go to Biden. And Trump had set up Title 42, okay, which slowed down asylum because of the pandemic. That helped. In Biden's first year, though, border crossings skyrocketed to 1.7 million. Why?
Look at the difference.
Wasn't talking tough about immigration, much more welcoming. There was a lot more instability in Latin America. There was a stronger U.S. economy post-COVID. You know, don't sleep on COVID as a factor in this. People weren't coming here because they were afraid of getting sick, or they were sick and there weren't the same jobs. Okay. And that was a big factor in suppressing the demand when Trump was in office. Okay. Now, with a stronger economy, without COVID, you see crossings are like five times higher than when Trump left office. So what has he done? He has pledged to deport millions of illegal immigrants from the country. So let's compare how each president handled deportations. Obama's administration deported 240,000 migrants in 2016, but their enforcement policy focused, as does Biden's, on targeting criminals, not just those who only cross illegally. When Trump took office, his administration adopted a zero tolerance policy, meaning everybody is seen as the same level of transgression.
Because the minute that you walk across the border, you're illegal. That's called breaking the law.
Allowing immigration officials to deport anyone who crossed illegally. By 2019, deportations had reached a high of 267,000. During his last year, mostly due to COVID, again, they dropped. Biden takes office. His administration issues new guidance to the agents, telling them to target migrants who pose a national security or public safety threat. Okay, kind of like Obama, but maybe even more selective. Deportations, therefore, plummet because you're looking for a smaller band of people. 59,000 in his first year.
No, because they wanted everybody to be able to come over here and do what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. Let's get to Tom Holman. I don't want to hear his monologue. I want to bring in Tom Holman.
Good to have you, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
The way I laid it out, pretty straight.
Yeah, a few things I disagree with you with, but I think it's more important. And you look at the numbers on the Biden administration, I care more about the numbers he released in the country more than I care about the deportation, because he released millions of people into the country where President Trump didn't.
And that is because, and please feel free to correct whatever assertions I made you don't agree with.
You're
the boss. But that is because Biden changed the definition of who the men and women doing enforcement should be looking for, correct?
No, that'd be ICE. He has changed the definition of who ICE should be looking for. He's made it clear, Secretary Mayorkas made it clear to ICE that being in the country illegally on his own without a criminal charge, if you're not a public safety threat or a national security threat, they're off the table. So they changed who ICE was looking for. But as far as the Border Patrol, you know, they went from ending catch and release that the Trump administration had to releasing millions of people to the country. That's really the difference. And I blame that on ending the policies that were proven effective in the Trump administration. You know, look, I worked for six presidents, starting with Ronald Reagan. I've seen hundreds of policies come and go. I know what policies work, what policies doesn't. Love or hate Trump, the Remain in Mexico program was a game changer. People can still claim asylum, but they wait in Mexico. That was a game changer. And after a few months, people stopped coming, because when they realized they weren't going to be released in the United States, they weren't going to, you know, spend all their money giving it to the criminal cartels only to wait in Mexico. So, you know, by doing that, by moving immigration that low to a 45-year low, you know, less migrant deaths across the border, less women being sexually assaulted by the cartels, it had a really positive effect on the Remain in Mexico program.
Oh, so basically what you're telling us is that once they cut off the spigot, once people realize, oh, wait a minute, we can't finesse the system, all of these people, you know what I look at these illegal migrants as? You know what I look at illegal migrants as? Scammers. They scammers. It's almost like how we don't like to label people in the hood that then shoot up their own blocks as terrorists. No, they're terrorists. We don't like to label the cartel as a terrorist organization. No, they're a terrorist organization. The question is, whose palms is they greasing, and how are the other opposite end benefiting it? And so I look at these illegal migrants as scammers, because they learn the game, they learn the system, they communicate with each other, and then they figure out how to take advantage of a system illegally, but they're just not held accountable to the same standards. And so it used to be, okay, well, drug dealers and killers, they transitioned over into white collar crimes. because it didn't make no sense to go out and being robbers and killers because you got football numbers when you got arrested for it. Well, once they started transitioning over into pimping and white collar crimes, pimping no longer was pimping, baby, because they were starting to hit them with human trafficking charges instead of just pimping and being, you know, over some kind of prostitute. So, well, they had to switch the game. They went over to the PPP loans and credit cards because all of these people out here started telling them, hey, man, white collar crimes, they get off easier. Okay, so they start finessing off the white collar crimes and they start giving y'all football numbers because they said that, listen, wire transactions and wire transfers is fraud. And they start hitting y'all with way worse numbers. And so y'all start getting football numbers on that. It's no different than these people that are crossing the border because all they doing is finessing a system knowing that they're not going to be locked up. They're not going to be prevented from being over here. They're going to be released over into the United States of America. Next thing you know, your daughter is driving or jogging through the park and they getting snatched up and it's going left from there. And so I look at them as scammers because all they doing is communicating with each other. And that's why I hate, you know, when AOC, and we're going to get to her later on in this stream. I hate when people like AOC or Kamala Harris or even black people, y'all aggravate me so much. When I see black people a lot of times caping and they saying, because, you know, I can't believe it's family separation. And don't you know that they walking over here with them kids on purpose in order to prevent themselves from being shipped back to the country where they came from? Why y'all not trying to make Venezuela bet great again? Make Cuba great again. Make Haiti great again. Make Guatemala great again. If y'all would have had to make them great again and held y'all legislators and held the people that was trying to transfer y'all country over into criminal power, then maybe y'all wouldn't be in the situation that y'all in. But we said, hey, man, all right, listen, the inmates is running the asylum. They starting to gain numbers. We're going to have to nip this in the bud. It's getting out of control. We got to make America great again. Why y'all won't just make your own country great again?
First question is personal. You did the job. You just let people or reminded people how long you did the job. You were the acting director already. You then went into retirement after doing the job for the Trump administration for a while. They had your Senate confirmation up there.
Somebody said AOC said, hold on, wait. AOC said undocumented people still vote us this year. Is she dumb? Nope, she not dumb. You want to know why she not dumb? I'm going to show you why she not dumb.
You didn't have to be confirmed originally because you were next in line for the job within the same agency. They pulled the confirmation. You retired. Why are you back?
Because I care. You know, Chris, I've done this. I started as a board employee in 1984, so I know what it's like to wear that uniform. And when I joined DICE, 1989, I spent decades with ICE. I was the first ICE director that actually came up to the ranks. So there were 20,000 men and women that reported to me. I never asked him or told him to do anything that I didn't do myself because I was one of them.
Let me show you why she's not dumb. Undocumented mechanic says he won't regret his support for Trump even if he's deported. A lot of these people was out here moving and shaking. If you think that Biden got 81 million votes in 2020, you are sadly mistaken. If you think that Biden got 81 million votes in 2020, I got a bridge to sell you. Why you think that it was such a big deal for them to say that, oh man, you don't necessarily need ID in order to vote? What you mean you don't need ID in order to vote? What you talking about, Willis?
I care. And I care because of the tragedies I've seen on the southwest border. You know, I've stood on the back of a tractor trailer with 19 dead people at my feet, including a five-year-old little boy that baked to death. I've talked to little girls as young as 9 that were raped multiple times by a member of the cartel. And I can go on and on and on about the tragedies I've seen. I ran Operation Ice Storm in Phoenix, Arizona, where the cartels were ripping each other's house off, where they were holding illegal aliens waiting for the payment. And they're ripping each other off. And if a migrant couldn't pay his fees, they kill him. And before they kill him, they call the relative who's supposed to pay the fee. And they forced him to listen, torturing the man until they came up with the fees that they demanded. So out of all the tragedies I've seen, plus I love the men and women of the Border Patrol. They put their lives online every day, same with ICE. This can be fixed. And we need to fix it because it's going to save American lives. It's going to save alien lives. It just makes sense. There's no downside in a secure border. And I have arguments a lot up on Capitol Hill. Give me one downside in a secure border. What's the downside in less illegal immigration? What's the downside in less fentanyl that killed a quarter million people? What's the downside in less sex trafficking of women and children, which is up now 600%? What's the downside unless people on terrorist watch lists coming across the border? A secure border saves lives. A country can't have strong national security if we don't have border security. We got to know who's coming in, what's coming in, where it's coming in, why it's coming in. That's what national security is all about.
And this seems like it would be common sense to most people. But what I've realized is that common sense is not common until it commonly affects you when it's sitting on your doorstep. It's a lot of people wasn't even tripping. When Kamala Harris and Biden was running their campaign and they was crisscrossing the country using taxpayer dollars in order to advocate for reproductive rights, nobody questioned immigration. We was over here on the Millionaire Morning Show screaming to the top of our lungs, hey, how come ain't nobody asking a question that everybody should be paying attention to? Why did they leave the borders open? Why did they sue Texas? Why is they flying people over here? Look at this program. Look at this program. Look at the app that they got released and that they developed. Look at the parole program that they got going over here. Why they had migrants over in the airport, over in Atlanta and Boston, and why they sleeping on the floors and in the police stations and they can't even go do their job over in Chicago? Look at what's going over here. They're giving them free money over there in New York. Look at what's happening over in Denver. They're taking over apartments. I've been screaming to the top of my lungs since 2021 to pay attention to what's going on in the migrant crisis. And nobody was looking. Nobody was paying attention. Nobody was covering it. Nobody was covering it in 2021, 22, and 23. It didn't even really become a thing until 2024. But people don't care until it's directly on their doorstep. Then when they start snatching their wigs off their heads in New York and they start taking over apartments over there in Denver, everybody wanted to start becoming gung-ho. I'm a focus. I need, what's going on with the migrant crisis? Nobody cares until it's on their doorstep. Nobody. Same thing with the drugs. Until your homeboy, your cousin, became a meth head and he was missing a tooth up here and their ass was gouged out. Oh, we need to start holding a big pharma accountable. Everybody got cancer. Bad baby walking around with cancer. Now everybody is concerned about RFK Jr. Nobody knew about RFK Jr. prior to Trump saying, you know what, let me listen to you, and if I become president, I'm going to make you a part of my administration. We need to fix our food and the FDA. And you know, it's still people that ain't even informed. If I ask one of my family members, hey, man, you know about RFK Jr.? You know about Jill Stein and what she was talking about in the Green Party? You know about Tulsi Gabbard and why she switched over from being Democrat to being Republican? You know anything about border security and why they're trying to secure our borders and why it's very difficult? They don't care. They don't care. They don't care nothing about that. I don't like Trump.
Tom, let's deal with the supply and then we'll get to the migrants themselves. It used to be coyotes. Okay, now it's cartels. It's all you hear. Do you believe that in
Justin Carter, you know I like to entertain the chat because the chat is my co-host for today. Justin Carter says, this guy is talking about black people. We beyond here being over here. He ain't even got no periods in his sentences. No commas, no periods, no exclamation point, talking in all lowercase letters. But I'm going to try to make it easy. This guy talking about black people always running in the victim Olympics. I guarantee you he's a DEI hire. We being over here before America was America, check your facts. We was over here in the 1400s with the Indians. My people, they perish for lack of knowledge. My people, my people, my people, my people, my people, my people. I'm about to come and be amigos. My people, my people. My people, my people. Come on off the Democratic plantation, big dog. Come on, come on off that Democratic plantation, man. Come on, come on. Victim Olympics, Democratic plantation. Come on off of it. My people, my people. Jesus Christ. Got to get back to border security. We going to get there, y'all. We gonna slowly grab them off the Democratic plantation. Come on off.
Instead of a national roundup of illegal entrants, our major focus of resources and political pressure on foreign countries should be on stopping
and
the...
And do not censor anybody that got a difference of opinion than me or y'all. We have a long leash over here. We not an echo chamber. I have my own personal opinion, but I invite everybody else to have a difference of opinion also. You're just not going to be... You might get brought to the front of the congregation.
Cartels in Mexico and the threat to Mexico that if they don't do it, and supposedly the new leader there is kind of avert against the idea of taking on the cartels, that will do it. And do you believe you could legally declare them terrorist organizations and use the military to go after cartels?
Well, look, you know, ever since I gave the speech at the RNC, I've had numerous death threats from the cartels against me and my family. And matter of fact, my family isn't with me right now because of the death threats. But, you know, President Trump has promised that he would designate them terrorist organizations. And I believe he should, and he will. And the reason why they should be designated terrorist organizations, the criminal cartels of Mexico have killed...
If you saying in-person live shows will be lit, yeah, I got an in-person live show on December 14th. Get your tickets. We're going to be rocking out.
More Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. Now, I just said, you know, 250,000 Americans dying from fentanyl poisonings. And up to 4,000 aliens have died crossing the border. So, you know, these cartels are wreaking havoc in this country. And like I said, killed so many Americans. President Trump is committed to doing it. And I think he should. Because the cartels are a national security threat to this country. You're getting a fentanyl from China. You know, the precursors, they send it to the criminal cartels. The cartels make this poison and send it across the border. The border violence is now coming across into the United States. The criminal cartels of Mexico is like a Fortune 500 company. I mean, the Jalisco cartels is in 42 countries now. These criminal cartels that smuggle this poison over across the border, it used to be about smuggling into the United States. Now they have a presence in every major city of this country. Now they're taking over the distribution network within the United States. They need to be attacked. They need to be wiped out. Absolutely.
Listen. We cannot have unsecure borders over in the United States of the Americas. It just is what it is. You're not going to let everybody come in and run up and ruin everything that this country is built off of. You know, my biggest problem with different cultures coming in here, they think that we supposed to respect their culture. Try that over in the UAE. Try that over in Dubai. Try that over in the Middle Eastern country. Go over there and tell them, hey, man, you got to respect my culture. They're going to be like, who are you talking to? Man, if you don't get in line or you can get out. Either you can get in line or you can get out. What makes this country great is that we've established cultural norms that allow for us all to thrive. At the same time, I believe that you're going to have to adapt and you're going to have to acquiesce over to what we do here. We don't have to adjust to make you feel accommodated.